scriptures and locate 1 Kings chapter 18. There is an outline there in your bulletin you can find and grab, fill in, and that will help you. You can also use your smart devices to follow along on the outline and fill that in as well. I'd like to read for you. We have just a few verses that we will look at specifically this morning, but to get the context, the flow of the passage, we're going to jump in at verse 36 and then read through the end of this chapter to discover what God has for us this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in heaven and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Then Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now Elijah said to Ahab, Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He crouched down on the earth, put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, Go up now toward and look toward the sea. The servant went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And we have seen a lot of nothings in this passage, in this story, in this scenario so far. There is nothing. And Elijah said, Go back seven times. And it came about after the seventh time that the servant said, Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, Go up and say to Ahab, Prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind. There was a heavy shower. Ahab rode and went up to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. This morning, we're going to look at superhero selections. There are all kinds of truths in this passage. I cannot exhaust them all this morning, but we're going to look at superhero selections. We woke up this morning to a world that is hot on the trail of the next superhero. Some in our society have been mourning over this last week with the death of one who is credited for creating or being an integral part of a number of superheroes. Our culture has a rabid fascination, an ongoing hunger for superheroes who can do it all and have our best interest in their capable hands. Let me ask you a question as we get started this morning. Are you on a first name basis with any superhero today? Now you think about, if you answer yes, there might be a problem. If you answer no, there might be a problem. Let me ask you another question. Are you a superhero? Look around. How's everybody responding? Are you a superhero? If you say yes, there might be a problem. If you say no, there might be a problem. And there's definitely something for us to all learn and connect with that it's rooted in the Word of God concerning who we are and who we belong to in this world that we live in. Well, we come to our text. Primary focus from a human standpoint, is an Old Testament prophet named Elijah, one of the top prophets, the key figures in all of the Bible. And we have invested a significant amount of time in study and still have quite a bit more to go. At first glance, we may conclude that the Old Testament prophet Elijah fits that definition of a superhero that we see out there today. Can do it all, has our best interest in his capable hands. It seems that he fits that definition and is a worthy candidate of being my best buddy. I mean, he cheats death, he conquers death, he causes the death of the evil guys. He stops rain, releases fire, stops rain again, or starts rain again. All while the good guys win, ultimately, and the bad guys lose. Now, that sounds like some serious superpower. And probably, I think if you're honest, you can identify with me a bit in that we all kind of yearn to have that kind of power. Doesn't that sound cool? We yearn to have those kind of personal relationships. Well, guess who I know? Guess who I am best friends with? This powerful person. That seems to be ingrained in our human psyche, our human dynamic. And that is not necessarily bad. But as you look in your outline, as we engage our thinking and our study in this text, we do not want to miss what is available to us today. And second of all, we do not want to mistake fantasy for reality. I submit to you that the greatest person that you will ever meet and know and you can know him intimately is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he has available to you will blow your mind away. But we do not want to chase the wrong rabbits down the wrong rabbit holes. We do not want to mistake fantasy for reality. What can we learn about this man? What does he teach us about a walk and relationship with God that is pleasing to God on his time frame, from his perspective? What is key in this power surge prophet? And where is the connection for me today? Don't miss what's available. Don't mistake fantasy for reality. What is the key in his life that needs to be key in my life? A couple of things. Elijah understood the power of connection. He understands the practice of connection. The power of God connection and the practice of God connection. He understood the power that comes from that connection with God. And that means everything in the world to me and to you this morning. We are not powerless, without strength, as we go through this challenging life in front of us. There is a power that comes from a connection with God. Secondly, Elijah understood that he had to put some effort into his walk with God, into a relationship with God. Walking with God, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, being a student of Christ, isn't me sitting back in a recliner watching God do all his God things and me taking credit for it. The power of God is amazing as it connects into my life. There is responsibility for me, effort that needs to come out of my life. The power of God means everything in my life. The practice of connecting with God demands everything from our lives. Elijah was a powerful prophet. But what did we learn about this powerful prophet several months ago in our study of the book of James? James chapter 5, verse 16 or verse 17 says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Then it goes on to say Elijah was such a man. He prayed earnestly. It did not rain. It did not rain on earth for 3 years, 6 months. He prayed again. The sky poured rain and produced fruit. But I left one part of the verse out that I want to highlight now in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. To even just put it down in my kind of everyday language, Elijah was an average common guy, an average common person, just like me, just like every one of us in the room today. He did tremendous things, was involved in tremendous demonstrations of God's power, but he was a common, everyday person. That means I'm not off the hook in what God calls me to do. That also means that I have hope. You see, every time in these stories and chapters that we've looked at Elijah, and he had these significant chapters in his life, you will see time and time and time again, he connected with God through the spiritual discipline of prayer. He brought God into the equation by prayer. And that same privilege for Elijah is a privilege for us today as followers of Jesus. We each get to talk to the God of the universe. Just went over that in one of our membership classes this morning. One of the key truths that we embrace as a church is the priesthood of the believer. You know I'm going to pray for you on a regular basis. That is part of my privilege and pastoral responsibility. But you don't need to come to me for someone to go connect with God. You get to talk to God anytime you want because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have hope today because of who Christ is. Now, one last thing, and what the focus of our study this morning is all about the connecting with God. How you and I can best and better connect with God. When it's said in James 5 that Elijah prayed earnestly, what it really comes out of the language, the common language of the day that the New Testament was written in, it's translated this way. In praying, Elijah prayed. In praying, he prayed. He said, what's the big deal? Well, it's emphasizing that there is a right way to pray and connect with God, and there is an ineffective way to pray and connect with God. It's possible for me to think I'm talking to God, praying to God, interacting with God, and be totally doing just the opposite. It's possible to not talk with God when we think we are talking with God. So it's really important for all of us to understand what is involved in connecting with the God of the universe who wants us to connect with them. Here's a question. How do I effectively communicate with Almighty God, with the Almighty God of everything? See, this is for everybody. How do I connect with the Almighty God of everything? The answer in chapter 18, verse 42, is essentially follow the example of the prophet Elijah. Follow the example of the not superhero, common guy with an uncommon God practice. Five connections that we want to focus on this morning. You'll see a place to write these down in your outline. Number one, let's go to verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Connection number one. Get separated from it all but God. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. Remember, this is after the sacrifices there. This is after the conflict and the battle with the prophets of Baal. Baal responded with nothing because he was a nothing God. He didn't exist. The prophets of Baal prayed and prayed and prayed earnestly, but they were praying to nothing, and so they got nothing. Elijah prays to a living God, the living God, and there is an immediate response. And this is like this fantastic experience. So why does Elijah move out of this scene and scenario somewhat quickly and go to the top of the mountain? The top of Mount Carmel. Prayer is all about being disconnected and connected at the same time. You want an effective prayer life? You want to talk to God? You want to connect with God today as well as tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? Understand that prayer is all about being disconnected and connected at the same time. Disconnected from everything else, even that which is good, and connecting with the one who is everything. Key in our prayer practice is choosing a place where we'll be likely uninterrupted. Now, you can talk to the God in the middle of New York City. That's one of the fantastic realities of a relationship with God. You can connect with him with all the hustle and bustle of civilization around you, but it does help when distractions around us are minimalized. And it's just this time for God and me to interact. And in that place and in those moments, it's a time for refreshing fellowship with the God of the universe. It's also the place where we find remedy and cleansing for our failures. Follow the example of the common prophet. He separated himself. He disconnected from all the challenging issues of life. And he went off by himself to connect with God. Get separated from it all but God. Find a place where there will only be God and you. Well, we move on in the text. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. I think you're going to have to write this down because I kind of had a brain cramp evidently and forgot this slide. But I know you're real smart and can write this down. Number two, get humble in every up and down of life. Number one, get separated from it all but God. Number two, get humble in every up and down in life. Elijah crouched down in the earth, put his face to the ground. Why? Because he had a tummy ache? Because there was bad pasta at this potluck with the prophets of Baal? We have an element of worship and an aspect of worship and an aspect of prayer that we dare not miss. And that is being humble before an awesome God. Remember growing up? A song. It's hard to be humble when you're awesome in every way. That's not what he's singing at the top of Mount Carmel, right? But often in our lives, it's easy to be kind of humming that as we move through life. Wow, I am God's gift to the earth. Maybe you never have that problem. Maybe it's just me. So I learned something from here. The importance of getting humble, being humble in every up and down of life. Is it easier to be humble when things are going bad or when things are going good? How about for you? Is it easier to be humble when things are going bad or when things are going good? For me, it's never easy. Because if things are going good, it's because I'm so awesome. If things are going bad, who messed up? Certainly. There is a challenge for all of us in the ups and the downs of life to keep God in proper perspective. And especially in the good times, we are most vulnerable, or a most vulnerable moment in our life is right after a victory. It's amazing. A team wins a sports championship, the Super Bowl, the World Series, and then they have an off season of turmoil. They've achieved what they wanted for, what they worked hard for, and now that they got it, all the things that were petty and insignificant that they looked past now crop up. Politicians, they run on this platform of we're going to be the most in the administration with the most integrity that anybody's ever seen, and then months into the new regime, guys are walking away from what may have been lifelong pledges and all this, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, just you see it in every party, almost every championship team, that after a victory, a lot of things crop up and they get sidetracked. And we are very vulnerable to getting sidetracked in our relationship with God after spiritual victories. And so that's why it's important, number two, not only finding a place where we will be alone with God consistently, but kissing the ground regularly before the King. Get humble in every up and down. A vulnerable moment is after a great victory. Here's a good approach. Kiss the ground as we saw in Elijah. Be worshipful. Be humble on a consistent basis before the King of Kings. He went to the top of Mount Carmel. He crouched down on the earth, put his face to the ground. And then he said to his servant, that's interesting. I think this is the only place we ever hear anything about Elijah's servant. We don't know who he was, how he got him, what that all involved, and so all I can tell you is he had a servant. He set him to go. Go and look toward the sea. Number three, how do I effectively communicate with an almighty God, the almighty God of everything? Get specific. Get specific. Not subtle, not secretive or snotty in our prayer life. What's it mean to be snotty in your prayer life? Well, if you've ever heard this prayer, imagine a family gathering together and they're going to say grace before the meal. And the husband says, "Oh God, we thank you for this meal. My wife finally didn't burn one." Okay, that's snotty. Nope. Yeah. "Oh God, thank you that my husband finally did what I wanted to do." Those are kind of snotty prayers. Probably not very effective in communicating with the God of the universe, right? We need to be specific, not subtle, not secretive, not taking shots at someone else in our prayer life. Go up now and look toward the sea. Why was he looking towards the sea? Why was he going up to the mountain? Remember, as we looked at last week, they are very close to the Mediterranean Sea, likely where this battle took place. They could look out and see the Mediterranean Sea. It would be where the rain clouds would naturally come from. And all of this stuff is hinging on the promises of God that he has made repeatedly from chapter 17. No rain, no rain. Now rain is coming. And here's the promise. Rain is going to come. God's promises connect with our life. There are thousands of promises in Scripture. You would be well, I would be well, and do well to reacquaint ourselves with those promises. Here's also what we need to remember as we look at the promises of God in Scripture. not every promise is directly applicable to us. Not every promise in the book is mine. Not everyone directly applies to us. We have to look at the context. We have to look at the background to understand exactly what is saying. We do not get to pick and choose the promises we want. We do not get to just name it and claim it. And whenever you hear that, I would encourage you to be very careful of that. We also don't have the privilege of ignoring, or it's to our peril to ignore the promises of God when he talks about the consequences for our sin behavior. So it's on us to be students of the book and to study the book, and we will find very encouraging but a very challenging truths about the promises of God to us. I came across this statement as I was looking at this passage. I want to pass it on to you as we think about the specificness of prayer. And challenge me, I think it'll challenge you. We need to guard against the slimy ooze of indefiniteness in our prayer life. Just think about your prayer life now. And how specific is it? How indefinite is it? God, we know what you're going to do. Just do it. God, you know what we need. Amen. Now, there's some value in that. But God wants us, encourages us to be specific with him. Not for his benefit. We don't need to tell God new information. He knows everything. But he knows that it helps me, it helps us when we get very specific with our prayer requests. When we write down those prayer requests, maybe take a notebook and write down your prayer request and write down the date when you begin praying for that. Writing it down helps you go back and keep praying about it. It also gives you the opportunity to write the answers to the prayers down. And that's one of the things God wants us to do in our being specific so that we get the connections, get the answers to our prayers. He wants us to get separated. He wants us to get humble. He wants us to get specific and be specific. And number four, so that you get the right blanks filled in. Number three, list the one thing you most need from your Creator, from the Creator. Go home today. Look at the list you have or start a list and write down the one thing you think you most need. Date it. Make that the object of prayer. Watch God work. Number four. Get persistent. Elijah said, go back seven times. His servant went and looked and said nothing. And Elijah said, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. Now, I know you're a lot more patient than me. About number two, I'm kind of chafing and slightly annoyed. By number seven, I'm probably off the charts. Which is why God sometimes tells Jim to go back seven times. Because I need the value of faithfulness and steadfastness and learning that my confidence isn't in myself, but it's in God. Elijah tells him to go back seven times. We are encouraged to be persistent like Elijah in a ping pong world. You play ping pong, the ball's always bouncing all over the place. And that kind of sounds like our world and our culture, always reacting to what's going on. And we don't like something, just smack it and hit it in the direction we want. Sometimes God calls us to wait for us to learn lessons that we would never have learned in any other way. It takes a lifetime to experience and process our life. And there are going to be some answers that we do not know until the do not fully grasp until we get to the end of life or till we step into eternity and meet our Lord and Savior and get that aha moment. But it's going to take a lifetime for us to experience and process everything God has for us. I don't have a blank for this, but maybe you want to write it down somewhere on your outline somewhere. And I'm sure you'll have the opportunity to share this statement with someone else, likely this week. Here's the statement. We don't know it all. Does that sound like a good statement to share with someone else? You know, you don't know it all. Yeah. Going through life, you will discover this again, no matter what age you are. We don't know it all. But if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know someone who does. And he's not making this stuff up on the fly. He knows what he's doing, and he will bring us safely home. It takes time to figure life out. It takes time to figure the next step out. And sometimes we don't know what seven steps are down the road. Take the next step today. You don't know where God wants you to be in 2 years or 3 years, what he wants you to be doing for a career or schooling or all that. Take the next step you do know in your walk and relationship with God. Be who God wants you to be. Spend time with him. And trust him that he will give you the next step at just the right moment. In a smartphone world, waiting is painful. Waiting is perplexing and it is troubling. I'm still looking for an app on the phone that tells me how to deal with that. It's especially challenging when we think we're in the wrong time zone. When we think life is all about us and everything revolves around me. Everything revolves around my family. That's living in the wrong time zone. We live in God's world. We live in God's time zone. The world doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around God. And Elijah is learning and is learning and is passing on the knowledge that God's timing is not based on our clock. Look again. Look again, look again. We are challenged to learn the value of a first look, a second look, a seventh look, and another look. When it talks about getting persistent, staying persistent, moving forward with persistence, it's like remembering the point of a marathon race. Essentially, it's to take another step forward and to take another step forward until the finish line is crossed. It challenges us again and again to look in obedience and move forward in trust in our walk and relationship with God. Take another step forward until the finish line is crossed. And fifthly, lastly, Elijah said, go to Ahab, prepare your chariot, it's going to rain soon. Now this last section with Ahab and the rain and Elijah running all over the place has a lot of people vexed and all kinds of thoughts and comments across the board. Here is what we're going to focus on this morning. It's going to rain soon. God keeps his promises. So number five, get expectant with God's promises. We need to know his promises to be expectant with them, right? As you look out at life today, as you look at the news, as you look at what's happening in the world and specifically in your life, we often are filled with questions and concerns. May we be filled with the knowledge that an active, loving, holy God is at work. And his plan will be completely. And our life is full and running over with opportunities to see God's hand in little things. God keeps his promises. You know, we tend to see what we want to see. We tend to find what we want to find. And we all tend to be negative because that is part of our sinful nature, our fallen nature, that drives us to the negative. We must aggressively rewire our minds to see God's positive plan in action. It calls us to live on our tiptoes, leaning forward into God's heart. Live on your tiptoes, falling forward, leaning forward into God's heart. It's going to rain soon. Rain is in the air. You can almost smell it, and we can identify with it here in southern Indiana, can't we? In that springtime, you can sense it coming before it gets here. And that is the attitude and the heart that we want to develop in our walk with God. It is indescribable. The exhilarating fragrance of God at work. God is in the air, and nothing is going to stop him from accomplishing his will in the life of the world, life of the country, in the life of a church, and in the life of all the individuals that make up a church. What have we learned so far? To get separated from it all but God, and to find a place where only there's only God and us. We've learned to kiss the ground regularly before the King. We've learned the importance of taking another step toward the finish until the finish line is crossed. The importance of living on our tiptoes, leaning forward into God's heart. Understand the power of connecting with God. Also understand the practice that it challenges every one of us to have this morning. The God of Elijah is the same God on the throne today. Elijah's God is your God if you know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He calls us to acknowledge who Christ is, to accept his person and work as truth, and to trust in Christ alone to save you. Have you done that? And as we look at each of these five components of prayer and five components of an active connection with God, there is one area that's probably jumping out at you right now. Maybe you're saying, judge me on that one. Bring me in front of everybody on that one. But there's probably one that's jumping out at us that I want you to look at that this week. Address that this week. You'll see in your outlines about five different ways of application that you can put these truths into your life, into practice this week, and develop the right habits. The God of Elijah is your God today. He's not a superhero as much as a super example of what a normal Christ follower should look like. I'm not off the hook, but I have hope. And you're not off the hook, but we all have hope because Christ is on the throne and he invites us into that vibrant, dynamic relationship with him. Would you join me in prayer this morning as we just focus on who we are before a holy God? And as we think about what God is calling us to do in our relationship with him, what area that we've touched on this morning is God asking us to step forward on, address, put a little more passion and energy into our life? Father, we have the wonderful privilege of having our sins forgiven. We have the privilege of knowing the one who forgives sins on an intimate basis. and having him be our life coach and the one who directs us each and every day, helping us in our relationships within our family, within our scope of friends, within the work dynamic and the church dynamic. We have a friend, his name is Jesus. We have all the resources of God that come to us through the Spirit of God. And there is no way that we can properly respond but to say thank you. Lord, there's something that you likely want to reinforce in each of our lives. May we respond well to your Spirit and give him all the praise and glory. Some of us may be carrying heavy burdens. May we bring them to your feet right now and release them into your hands and into your heart. May we not leave here without having the proper relationship with you and the proper relationship with others in our life. As we spotlight you, we spotlight a living God. And as we close this morning, may that truth grip our hearts in a fresh way and move us out these doors into a world that needs to hear of the reality of a living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.